A deadly fungus is fast wiping out bats in eastern United States. The fungus is so harmful, the northern long-eared bat is facing extinction. The Black Hills of Wyoming and South Dakota have been an oasis for the species, but now the fungus has been discovered there too. Wyoming Public Radio's Melody Edwards reports.
Bat researchers Ellen Whittle and Caitlin Gordon's workday starts just before nightfall. First, Gordon says, they put up big nets across ponds where bats like to come get a drink of water. Being smarter than a bat isn't easy, though. Often, they don't catch a thing.
It's very frustrating sometimes how agile they are because they see the nets, they bounce around them, and never get caught sometimes.
And catching the northern long-eared bat is a big priority. They're on the endangered species list, and in the east, no logging or mining is allowed in their habitat. But driving into this pond in the Black Hills, we saw lots of signs that read, "Caution, logging trucks." And the worry is that loggers are cutting down important old ponderosa pine trees called maternity roosts, where the northern long-eared gives birth and raises her pups. The race is on to locate these trees and protect them. To do that, they need to follow the females back to the trees. So tonight, when the researchers catch the females, they'll glue tiny transmitters to their backs and follow their signals. Researcher Ellen Whittle.
And if there are many multiple bats coming out of that tree, it's a good indication that it's a maternity roost, which means it's a very important site. It's a tree that should be protected, and especially at the critical time of year.
And that critical time is right now. After the nets are up, we wait for the sun to set. Then we check the nets.
Bats are out.
Whittle wades out to the nets, her headlamp blazing.
This is a good number of bats and early, too.
Already, several species of bats thrash in the nets. Western small-footed, big brown, and yes, northern long-eareds. White nose affects several species in the U.S., so it's vital to see if any of these bats have the fungus. The researchers start extracting the tiny animals from the fine nets with mini crochet hooks. Whittle shows me one bat that's three times larger than the others, a female hoary bat with silvery fur and an electric hiss.
All right, babe, we'll get you out of here as soon as we can, all right? She potentially has already given birth and has some pups to attend to, so we don't want to keep her too long.
Whittle puts the hoary in a paper bag to measure her and check her wings for fungus scars. Lined up are a dozen more paper bags with bats inside, waiting their turn. All told, they catch 21 bats from 7 different species. But out of those, only one is a mama northern long-eared. Ian Abernathy is the lead scientist on this project. He says he's comforted that the area's logging doesn't appear to be affecting the bats too much.
The Black Hills National Forest is one of the most heavily logged national forest units in the lower 48.
He says bats around here aren't hibernating by the millions in caves the way they do out east. Instead, they likely hibernate in the dozens in cliffs. He says since the fungus mostly spreads bat to bat, that could be one reason the fungus hasn't struck out west. But he says now that it's been discovered less than 65 miles away at Jewel Cave National Monument, it may be just a matter of time. The good news is that Black Hills National Forest is working to protect this bat. They even helped fund Abernathy's study.
We know we're having an impact. We know that bats are being disturbed or killed from our activities.
That's Black Hills National Forest wildlife biologist Matt Stefanich. And when he says activities, he means logging. He says the agency is actively protecting any ponderosas that researchers say the female northerns use to give birth and raise pups in. The hope is to increase their numbers.
We can go into a timber stand and construct a buffer zone around those maternity roosts and not log in those areas.
Right now, he says, that buffer zone is 150 feet, but may need to be larger. But Stefanich says locals rely on logging for jobs, and shutting it down altogether isn't an option right now, even with white nose syndrome swiftly closing in.
You can sort of hear them all buzzing around when we're all quiet.
Back at the pond, researcher Ellen Whittle finishes measuring a northern long-eared bat. She stands up, the bat squirming wildly in her hand. Then she sets him free.
And he's gone. just like that.
Wow.
Off he goes.
The bat disappears instantly into the darkness, and Whittle moves on to identify the next one. For Here and Now, I'm Melody Edwards.
And a final note now. One of the last greats of 20th century modern American dance has died. Paul Taylor created dances for more than 60 years, including for Martha Graham and George Balanchine, and for his own dance company. He was 88. Taylor is arguably best known for choreographing Esplanade. The dance contrasted the Baroque music of J.S. Bach with everyday movements such as walking and running, skipping and falling. It was considered a masterpiece when it was first performed in 1975. Paul Taylor died yesterday. His dance company says it'll keep going. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Lisa Mullins.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.